Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Crummell Cares podcast. I am your host, Tanya Iverson. I am the general manager of Crummell Media. Want to thank you for taking the time to learn about all of the amazing nonprofits that we have here in our community. Today, we are starting our July edition of the Crummell Cares podcast. Our grant winner for July is Mentor Kids, and I'm going to introduce you to several people who work at Mentor Kids. But today I am joined in the studio with Burley Sullivan. She is the executive director for Mentor Kids, and you are going to absolutely love her and the passion and just the drive that she has to be able to help our youth right here in our community. So before I introduce you guys to her, I would like to thank the people who have made the Crummell Cares podcast and the Crummell Cares grants possible. I would like to thank Jerry Ray Davis. He is your friend in the car business. And I would also like to thank Robert Edge with Kentucky Farm Bureau. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tanya Iverson, your host of Crummell Cares. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to Crummell Cares podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome. I am so excited to have you in here and for you to share your story and the story of Mentor Kids, because I just know that you guys are over there changing lives every single day.
We sure are trying.
Yes, I know you are, and it shows for sure. Tell everybody just kind of a little bit about yourself first and connection to Mentor Kids, how you even got to Mentor Kids.
Okay, so that's a great question, and honestly, it's not one that I get asked often. So I don't have like my rote elevator pitch ready. So this is just off the cuff. My husband and I moved to Owensboro 11 years ago because our son has autism. And the state of Kentucky actually supports people with disabilities and special needs. They are ranked in the top five in the country. So we made the trip from Indiana over to Kentucky and just fell in love with Owensboro because it truly is that place that you watch on Netflix or cable TV, the small hometown that everybody just wants to be a part of.
Right.
So we were really blessed in finding that in Owensboro.
You know, I did not know that Kentucky was, you said, one of the top five?
Yes. When we were doing all of our research 11 years ago, Kentucky was ranked in the top five states in the country.
Really?
So kudos to you, Kentucky.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, there you go. I just learned something too. So awesome. So and then you just were like, all right, Owensboro, here we come.
And I have worked in both the for-profit sector and the nonprofit sector before Mentor Kids. However, when I say that, I used to run Easter Seals Southwestern Indiana. And it hooks up to the rehabilitation center. So I had grant writers and marketing department. It was a well-oiled beast. And then I left the nonprofit sector, went to for-profit, and had an amazing time for-profit because you can truly achieve your own goals and the sky is the limit that you set for yourself. However, when we moved to Owensboro, certain things took place, and the next thing you know, I find myself being asked to apply for an opening for the executive director for Mentor Kids Kentucky. And
wow.
Yeah, so to be real honest, my first response was no, thank you. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you think so highly of me, but I've ran nonprofit before, and I ran a beast. It is completely something different to run a nonprofit that has Jesus in your bylaws, because that takes you out of federal and state funding. It holds you to a higher accountability,
wow.
Seriously, a higher transparency. And I knew, I mean, it would be the toughest job of my life. And it has been, but it's also been the most rewarding. And so God knew what he was doing when he plucked me out of my happy little bubble and put me smack dab in the heart of this amazing community.
Yeah, they say anything worth doing is definitely not going to be easy. So there you go. That was your prime
Check.
Example.
Yeah.
You, and I can see you are the person, you know,
just with the fundraiser alone, you like a challenge.
Yes. Yes, I do. And I am my own worst enemy. So.
Right. Me too.
Yes.
Me too. Oh, comfort zone, what's that?
Yes. So when I started, the advice I was given was, do not do anything for your first year. Do not change anything. Do not add anything. Just watch a complete cycle go through, and then you can make it your own. So I was there for probably 35 seconds. And
you're like, nope.
So I'm started. And granted.
So how long have you been at Mentor Kids?
Going on my eighth year.
Eighth year. Hey, I'm in my eighth year of being here.
Yay. Good for us. Yes.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, sorry. So I couldn't just not do anything because I saw some deficits that we could come alongside these kids better, and then we could empower their legal guardians, and we could truly live out what our sign said at the time, and that was hope for the future. So that was the beginning of Mentor Kids, and then through this 8 years and a worldwide pandemic, Mentor Kids is still standing. We are stronger than ever. And I think that we have such an appreciation because we didn't get all that extra funding whenever, you know, COVID was happening. But it really made us appreciate, first of all, our amazing community, because even though I couldn't get all that federal funding, I was able to write grants through Grad and United Way, and we were able to feed our families. We were able to make sure that they had plenty of food in the refrigerators, that we were able to help them with COVID protocols. So if it would not have been for, of course, God and the community of Owensboro, then I might be sitting here saying a different story.
Right.
But that's not the case. And so I loved how the community came together, and it wasn't about this nonprofit or that nonprofit. It was about how can we together come alongside and help this community just stay focused on the light.
Right. And be able to just continue on with your mission.
Yes.
Because, you know, serving others, and that's why we're here.
Yes.
That's my belief of why we're here.
Yes. And so for your listeners who are new to Mentor Kids, we have been serving Davis County for actually 30 years. The first 10 years, it was Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And then whenever the organization started taking a different direction from the core values of the board at that time, they voted and they legally separated. And so part of that separation is that when they were evaluating all the components that can feed into a kid's life, they knew that unless a spiritual element was somehow captured, that the kids would not be able to truly reach their full potential. Now, for your listeners out there, I just want them to know that what struck me as when I first heard that the spiritual element is that we have people, and granted, like, hey, I'm just like an open hand, and I am not here. I don't pick wars. I just choose to love. That's all I want to do. But it was like, you know, well, I don't want my kid to be for not the legal guardians. I have yet to have one legal guardian that was like, no, I do not want to be a part of your program. And in fact, they take an extra deep breath because I run such a tight ship. But it almost hurt my heart, and it still does, that we don't want to introduce this spiritual element to the kids, but we will wait until they are neck deep in addiction. And then we are screaming, yes, you get that spiritual element, that higher power, that whatever you need to get, because that's how you're going to break the cycle of addiction.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, hey, if we give them this spiritual element now, then maybe we won't need it to break the addiction. And I also want your listeners, who are now my listeners for this little moment, that I want you guys to know that the thing that I love about Jesus is that Jesus did not judge. He did what he said he was going to do. He loved the kids. He never started a fight. He never engaged in anything. So when I train my mentors, I specifically let them know that I am not looking for Bible thumping Bob, bringing out Lamentations and like hitting the kids over the head with it. What I am looking for in a mentor is somebody who is going to reflect the character of Christ, that they are going to do what they say they are going to do. They are going to, and even it's how like they approach things. They get cut off in traffic. I do not expect our mentors to flip them off and go off into a colorful wording. I expect them to take a deep breath when they're with their mentees and just show the kiddos, hey, there's a different way that we can handle this. And that's what happened with my husband when, because my husband's a mentor. And so he picked up his kiddo and they were driving on the bypass and this car cut him off. And so his mentee was like, dude, they cut us off. And Darren,
what are you going to do?
Yeah. Darren was like, yeah, I know. And he's the next thing he said, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, nothing. And he goes, what? You have to do something. This is wrong. Darren took a deep breath and said, okay. So let's think about this. This person cut us off. They are probably, two things are happening. They are not in a good mental place. They're probably a little angry. So do we really think it's in our best idea if we pick a fight with them when we're driving 60 miles an hour? At that time it was 60, you know, on the bypass in two big vehicles. And he was like, well, no. And he goes, and then how about this? Maybe they have an emergency. Maybe they are desperately trying to get to somebody that they love. Right. So let's just give them some grace. And so his mentee didn't say anything. And so Darren just kept driving. They did their activity. And when Darren took him home, his mentee burst into the doors of his house. He's like, Mom, you're never going to believe this. We got cut off and Darren didn't flip him off and he didn't cuss him out. And the kiddo's mom was like, wow, that's impressive. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Really? Why not?
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah.
It's crazy for you not to do something
yes,
like that.
Yes. But, I mean, so that right there, that is how you live. Like, that's how that spiritual element comes in.
Somebody else is going through.
Right.
Essentially, at the end of the day, why pour more onto maybe a hard time or difficult time or whatever
yes.
that they're going through? Because you don't know.
Right. And that's why just be kind and just love.
Right.
So I went off on a tangent there. Sorry.
No. So you were saying the things that you look for, and you went in to talk about doing what you say, and then you went into the character or
of our mentors.
Yes.
Yes. And so our mentors, we asked them they be over the age of 18, that they profess Jesus Christ, because we are a Christian mentoring agency, and that they just want to give back to the community. And it's outside of that, I think that we have taken our mentoring program and we have stretched it, pulled it, pivoted to where we have it set up to where every single match that is made goes on a text thread. And then Lydia and I are actually on the text thread with them because, and I tell the mentors and I even tell the legal guardians, I am going to, as much as I humanly possibly can, I'm going to try to do everything to make sure another adult does not fail this kid. And so we want to make sure that our mentors are prepared. Because I'll never forget this story. I had a mentor come to me at the very beginning when I just came. It was about a year after I came on. And he goes, I want your toughest kid. And I just kind of looked at him like, I don't think that you really want my toughest kid. He's like, nope, I want your toughest kid. And I'm like, okay. I go, it's going to be tough, but we're going to be in the trenches with you. And I will support you, whatever it takes. But when you get my toughest kid, I want you to know that you are signing up for 1 hour once a week for 1 year. And that is what I expect from you.
Right.
And so a couple months later, and because we're on that text thread, we know that that kid is being picked up. We know that kid is being dropped off. We know when that kid, so that we can tell that they're meeting weekly. We can tell if there's any dynamics playing out. So we can tell if the mentor, we need to kind of pull them aside and be like, okay, these are areas that we think that your kiddo is going through. Let's come alongside. Let's think of ways that we can help build them up in this area. we also tell the legal guardians, the mentor is there for your kid. Our staff is there for you. Because that's something that was missing.
Right.
Is that we had this great program, and yes, hear me say, first and foremost, we are a one-to-one mentoring agency where we match adults with youth. But we only have those kids for a certain amount of time. How much more could we enrich their life and truly provide stability if we came alongside that legal guardian to say, hey, the mentor has your kid, we have you. We will teach you how to fish. We will, especially during like the when COVID happened, like we took our job descriptions and kind of threw them in the trash.
Right.
And we did whatever it took to make sure that that home remained stable and intact so everybody could flourish together.
That's right. Because if you make, you know, the guardian stronger, then that only makes the kid stronger.
Yes. And then I was trying to explain to them as a mother how I would, you know, here I meet somebody for this interview. They say all of these wonderful things, and I'm supposed to trust my child in today's world with this random woman who has a lot of words and a lot of passion.
Right.
And then what? And so that's when we were like, you know what? You have buy-in too. That's why we're all going to go on the text thread, because I want you to know where your kid is at all times. I want you to feel secure in trusting this whole process. And I want you to be a part of us. So we even came up with, like, we still do, we have mentor trainings. So a mentor can go online and fill out an application, and we do extensive background checks. We do the trainings. But then I was like, and we used to do just legal guardian interviews. And I'm like, why don't we do legal guardian trainings? Still the same concept, but let's empower them. Let's let them know, hey, these are the standards we're holding our mentors to. This is, you know, by you allowing us to come alongside you, this is what you can expect. So you get that buy-in, and all of a sudden, it's not like we're helping them. It's like we're all in this together. We are a team. And so even one of our questions on our application is, who is your tribe? And if they're like, I don't understand that question, I'm like, okay, if you don't understand that question, then you don't have one. So guess what? Burley, Miss Burley, Miss Lydia, and Miss Emma, we are your tribe now. So we got you.
Right.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I could use a tribe. Can I join up?
You sure can. Just go to mentorkidsky.org and fill out your application.
Yes. You kind of went into what you expect from the mentors. So if somebody does want to, and I know you said go to the website. Once they go to the website, I guess fill out application.
Yes, they fill out an application online. And then we call them in and touch base with them. And then we do not only the 5-point background check, but then we do references.
Okay.
Because and so this is something else. And this is where kind of like the spiritual element comes in. When we do the references, we do the pastor, the relative or spouse, we do the employer, and we do the a friend. With that, they're like, oh, you want my pastor reference? And what might surprise some people out there is that I am not looking to see like how, that if they're a true theologian or what. I want to see that they're actually going to church. Because if you're not going to show up for God once a week and you profess that you're a Christian, then why would I think that you're going to show up for a random, you know, kiddo?
Right.
That you don't, you know, so there's kind of that. I just want to make sure that.
Accountability.
Yes. Because again, all of my decisions go around protecting that kid and trying to do everything possible just to make sure that no one else fails him. Or her.
You went through all of the checks and kind of had the conversation. So how do you go as far as like pairing them? Like, is there a certain process? Do you do like an open house type thing where you kind of like just see who they gravitate to, or you match their personalities, or?
Yes. So before I took over, they did it by kind of like a number system. So like if they got a male mentor, which is kind of like a unicorn, because male mentors are so hard to get. So how we make the match is, instead of doing it is, here's little Timmy and he is number 46, and we have this random male mentor that just stepped on. We are going to match them together. That has happened. So that used to happen all the time before. And there were some great, amazing stories from cases like that. And there's one on our website that you can watch that was like a number and this mentor, and it was just boom. However, there are several matches that did not have that type of a happy ending. And so let's just say, for instance, that we have little Timmy, and little Timmy is so pale white and probably has a vitamin D deficiency because he does not like to go outside. But then you have this Oliver the outdoorsman, who's this mentor, and he's going to just come in and he wants to take his mentee fishing and go outside and do all this fun stuff. Okay, if his number came up and that was the mentor, that match,
it's not going to work.
It's not. It is not. And so in the first 3 months are crucial to how that match is going to, what path it's going to take. So whenever we are doing the youth interviews and we do our mentor interviews, we ask extensive questions, you know, even to the point like, do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert? Do you do like indoor, outdoor? What kind of, and we ask this huge list of, everything they could possibly like, because we do take that into account.
Right, so they can bond.
Yes.
So, like if he likes to play, you know, games, video games inside, or likes to be a computer programmer or something, you want to have somebody who's going to be able to have that lingo and talk to him.
Exactly. And so, and I guess I should say that I now have the freedom to, instead of like, because we always have a wait list. And so I am sure that the reason why before me that they did, it's your number and here's this mentor, is because that was the program. But when I started, and I do all the legal guardian interviews, because at one time I was a single mom. And so if I did not get remarried, my kids would have been perfect for this program, because we serve children from single parent and non-traditional families, meaning the grandparents are raising them. Yes. Great aunts. Yes. Exactly. And so when I would go into the interview, I would sit down and I have probably an hour to talk to this legal guardian who has probably been hurt, been disappointed, been let down. And I am trying to break down the barriers to get them to trust me. And so that would happen. And then they would say on all four times, so can we do this tomorrow? And then I'd have to look at him and say, it could be 6 months to a year, especially since you have a boy, that I'm going to be able to find a mentor. And you could just see
the,
yeah. And then it's like they left worse off than coming in. That broke my heart.
Right.
And so after the fourth, and so, but then I would have one of my staff out in the other room doing the kiddo interview. And especially with the little ones, because we serve starting at the age of six. And she would talk about finding this really cool mentor for them to hang out with. And the boys especially would get so excited. Are they here? Am I going to meet them soon?
Like a superhero in the other room.
And Maria, that's who was with us at the time, she would be like, no, but we're going to find you one. Tomorrow then? Well, no, not tomorrow. And so then she found herself trying to explain time. And 6 months. And
to a six-year-old.
And it was just, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
So I talked to my board at that time and stepped out in faith. And that's when we started the STAR program. So the STAR program is our on-site program. And so every Thursday that school is in session, the kiddos on the wait list, they come to mentor kids at 4 o'clock. Their legal guardian drops them off, comes in, signs them in. We, during that time from 4 to 6, we are going to feed them cheap one-topping pizza. Thank you, Domino's, for the deal. And then we are going to work on academics. Academics is so important to me. That's how we're going to break cycles. So we hit on academics. But if they have their schoolwork already done and they don't need, like, we try to fill in the gap with like multiplication, division, and if they're doing okay on all the fronts, then we don't play with our cell phones because they are checked at the door. We have a bucket that says no cell phone zone, and we then, and there's grumbling.
Oh, yeah.
But, and I don't care if you're 6 or if you're 15, your phone is going in the bucket. And that is when we work on our life skills. So we are going to be learning how to help, like set the table. We're going to be learning how to help, you know, fill up water cups. We are going to work on relational skills because there are no cell phones and your homework is done. You're going to play board games. And it might be Uno, Monopoly. I've taught kids how to play chess. But we're going to do something to where you are engaging with eye contact. You are developing those soft skills that Owensboro desperately needs. And we are going to stand the gap until we can find a mentor. So, and then on Thursday nights, we all eat as a family at our big family table. And we go around the room and we're like, so what was the best part of your day? And what part would you like to go, what part would you do over again if you could? And so they'll say the best part, and then they'll say, and my do-over would be. And so this, again, is how that spiritual element comes in, because I say, you know, mercies are new every day. Every day you can reset. In fact, you don't have to wait until tomorrow. You could reset right now. So it's like I'm talking to them biblically. They have no idea, but they will remember that Miss Burley said, hey, mercies are new every day, and I can reset. So it's just that dropping in. And then during all of this, hopefully we're going to be building those kiddos' character. And then we hit on tobacco prevention, because that's the gateway to so many other things. And so the STAR program is amazing. And anyone, so you can volunteer at that. Just call the office, let us know ahead of time. But it's because of the STAR program, first of all, that I can now look at the legal guardian straight in the eye and say, especially when we do, we typically do the legal guardian interview first. Now we do them separate because it's a lot easier to get legal guardians like by themselves and then wrangle a time to get kids in later. Right. But if we get the legal guardian interview in, I'll be like, okay, can you get Tommy straight from school and come straight here? And they're like, absolutely. So little Tommy will come in. We will do his interview. As soon as I approve him, and this is just for insurance reasons, as soon as they become mine, because that's what I tell the parents, like, when your kiddo comes, you're going to be sharing him with Miss Burley, because, right. And the legal guardians, it does not take them too long to figure out that I absolutely would take a bullet for their child. Right. But, so we are able to immediately come alongside and sign off. And then guess what? The kiddo stays. He just stays for the STAR program. During that 2 hours, legal guardian gets to go grocery shopping. They can do whatever their heart desires. And I've had some that when the weather is nice, they've sat out in their car and just...
out in their car.
Yes.
Sometimes a silent car is perfect...
Exactly.
It's just exactly what you need.
Yes. And so then, so we get to know these kiddos. They get to like know our expectations. Like they know that I'm always going to be the bad cop. Yes. When I'm not there, they might have lemonade. But when Miss Burley's there, we're going to have water because your brain is 90% water. So I'm always trying to like talk and build, and they don't appreciate it now. They probably won't appreciate it for another couple decades, but that's okay. But because of this STAR program, we are then able to say, hello, Mr. Mentor, who is interested. Why don't you just come and volunteer at the STAR program? Let's see, you know, or we have this kiddo. We'd love to talk to you more about. You can even come and just like play a game with them just to see. The kiddo is going to have no idea because we always have volunteers in and out. And so that way, if you just feel like that's not the right kiddo, you can just look around the room because everyone there is waiting, or we can keep looking. But I have yet, because we do such an amazing job thoroughly vetting out the strengths, the areas for growth, the interest. We do such a good job that I just thank you, Jesus, have yet to say, we think you would be great with this kid and the mentor to come to STAR and it not work out. Almost every, yeah, no, actually 100% of the time.
It works out.
And now, but it might be to where the mentor meets at the STAR program with that kiddo not knowing every week for, because let's be honest, in today's day and age, I can understand how a mentor could be hesitant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it is one-to-one. And so instead of starting that relationship together alone, you can easily fold in by just coming to the STAR. And then, so that's, we did this one amazing match, and they actually met at the STAR program every week for 3 months. And whenever we were like, surprise, the girl was like, well, I already thought that happened. She was, because she in her heart knew that, like, that's who she wanted to be with, because they had so many great interests, and it was, they loved the same games. And so just to see all that play out was amazing. So the STAR program has been fantastic for, we don't have to do number 16, you're up, because you've been waiting for 6 months to a year.
Right.
Now we can do it based on what is best for this kiddo as far as making a relationship. So that's been really cool.
You said that whenever you're a mentor, it's once a week.
One hour. For 1 year.
And so after, so once the year is up, what happens then? Do you like get to renew your kid? Or?
So, yes.
That sounds so
no,
odd.
No, actually, it's a perfect question.
Yeah.
And our, the ages we serve are 6 years to 14 years.
Okay.
Now, if the kid is matched at 14, we carry that match. And even if they're matched at six, the hope is that they will just stay matched until graduation. We have a match maintenance, we have match modification, because like when the kiddos get older and they're in sports and they have jobs and they have this, then it will no longer be like the 1 hour once a week. It might be twice a month. It could be, so I mean, it fluctuates. It's, I guess every match is individualized.
Right.
So it's not just we're trying to put all these matches in a cookie cutter type scenario.
Because that's not anybody. Nobody is the same.
Exactly.
Nobody. Yeah. So after the year, you just say,
would you like to continue?
And they just continue.
Unless the only time that I have not had it continue, and it was, I've never had one go that fizzled out before, but it's typically because like the mentor has moved away, or the youth moved away, or there was like a health situation. But typically we'll just put a pin in it, and then once the mentor, like if it's a health situation, once the mentor is back and ready, then we just fold them right back in.
Gotcha.
So okay. Yeah, so my prayer is every match that is made, that at some way, shape or form, that mentor will be involved when they graduate.
All right. That's awesome.
Thanks.
So you've been there 8 years. So have you seen them go surpass graduation? Like continue to have a relationship, continue to be in each other's lives? Because I would think, you know, going through being a teenager alone is enough.
Yes.
But just to have that longevity of, you know, going through all that, would they continue?
So yes, they continue, but it's not underneath our umbrella then.
Right.
So, but yeah, so we've had, I mean, there's been countless stories of where they attended each other's, you know, weddings. If you had like
oh,
a young,
really?
yes, we were going to do something for the banquet on this one amazing duo, but any time that I think that you truly imprint in a child's life, that child is going to imprint on your life far more.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that it's a bond that cannot be broken.
Right. It just continues on.
Yes.
That is fantastic.
And then for our listeners, because now Tanya, they're my listeners too. I'm just kidding.
She's taking them as yes. Their mentors.
Yes. Yes. But if they're out there thinking, "Wow, Miss Burley stops, you know, matching kids at age 14," there's a reason. All best practices show that the sweet spot for mentoring is 10 to 12, because that, if you can get a kid before they are at that crossroads or already have their, what in their mind they think is the way, then we can truly help change that. But when you get a 14-year-old in, some things are going to happen. First of all, it's typically the legal guardian who desperately wants it. And I get that.
Right.
But I have to explain to them, your kiddo has to be in 100%. Because what happens at 14, and then I even go to the 14-year-old and I'm like, look, now even though we have the STAR program, I am going to have to pull a mentor or like the next mentor up. And instead of inviting them to come to the STAR program, I'm going to try to talk to him about you or her about, yeah, we do accept female mentors also. I just want to put that out there. But because I want them to know that, like, hey, there's a bunch of kids waiting for this mentor. And he's not even, they're not even going to know who he is because I'm going to just try to match him with you. Do you understand this? I understand. And you're going to meet every week. Yes, Miss Burley. And so I'm like, so just to recap, when your mentor's there, you're going to choose to be with him instead of napping, playing Fortnite, doing everything, running the streets. Oh, yes. Turns out I have yet to have, well, right now I can say that I have one, my first one out of six. I have one right now that he started off in the STAR program, knows us, and that match is still going strong. All the other matches, unfortunately, they crashed and burned. Because if you look at a match, think of a triangle. A triangle is all sides equal. And so, and it's three sides. And so one side represents the legal guardian. One side represents the youth or mentee, and then the third represents the mentor. If at any time one of those sides is not there 100%, and even at, like, we can work with 80%, we can like jiggle something, but if it's not there, the whole thing just collapses. And then for you out there listening, you're thinking, well, that mentor could just be matched with a new person. I thought that myself until you look at this mentor, and in their minds, even though I was already crystal clear, I'm in the trenches with them, I am supporting them, I am coaching them, they still feel like they failed.
Right.
And so...
because the kid didn't want to
yes.
be with them or
yes.
be on with them.
So that's why...
It's a little, I don't know how to say it, like disheartening maybe a little hurt.
Yeah.
There, like, did I do something wrong? Or maybe I'm not fit for this, but...
Yeah, here, I mean, what else could I have done?
Raised teenagers, they're hardcore.
You just have to...
They are not for the faint-hearted.
They're moving right along.
Yes. Yes.
So,
exactly.
And take it to heart, you just have to know that, well... that didn't work out the way I planned.
Right.
And move on.
Yes. So, but I think that we do such a great job kind of like front-loading everything. And then we let our mentors, and we even let the legal guardians know, there's not much that you're going to tell me after 8 years that I'm going to be shocked about. Like, you might be shocked and mortified. I'm probably not.
Right.
Now, there was a time when I was right there with you, but just, you know, after evolving.
Oh, yeah.
And truly just being in the trenches, it's like, you know what? Yeah, this is unfortunate and it can be a little scary, but I'm not scared because I've been through this before. I know that God is going to see us through and he'll give us the strength. So that's when I can just kind of like pull those nuggets out and just remind them, we're all in this together. And we're going to do whatever it takes to help that kiddo.
Right. So I know that you guys depend on the community and you depend on, obviously, fundraising and events and stuff like that. So
do you know why?
Why?
So whenever we do the extensive background checks or the materials for the trainings or the STAR night or the... oh my goodness, a monthly match activity that we do. We do a mentor monthly where we coach the mentors the second Tuesday of every month at our office building on Veach Road. We open it up from 5:30 to 7. We feed them and we hit tough topics that their kiddos are facing right now so we can coach them. So we have all of that plus overhead. And so all of that Do you want to guess how much we charge? Zero. There's no sliding scale. There's no scholarship program because we do not charge anyone anything for any of our services. So that is why the Rugged Race is so vital to the youth we serve.
And that's why you count on the community and the grants and all of those things to provide, for you to be able to provide those services and, you know, matches and everything you can to help these kiddos.
And the Cromwell Cares grant, when we were filling it out, I was like, because we're always just the underdog. We're always, and we never like really win anything. And if we do win, it's always like a blip. Like somehow they forget to invite us to the award ceremony.
Aww.
Yeah, but it really just keeps us humble. So whenever we applied for the Cromwell Cares and just the support that the grant offered. And then for the listeners out there, I want you to know that we have a treasure in Tanya. Because when we first met, so after we were awarded the grant, we met, Tanya came to our office, and you kind of served as a mentor to us, saying, this is, you know, like, I've evaluated. This is where I think that you guys have
could benefit.
Yes.
What you need to do.
And areas for growth.
Right.
And so it was just like, so it was like even a double, quadruple bonus because we were getting your expertise and then a separate set of eyes. And then we knew what this could truly mean for our kids and the Rugged Race. So to be awarded was like a long shot. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We were all just so excited. And
good.
It is just an honor to even be here. So sorry about all that. But
no, good. That is the reason why we started this, because of the need. I'm on the board of Girls Inc. I did Dancing with Our Stars, and it was right after that I was just like, these nonprofits don't have a clue how to market themselves and how to tell people their story.
Right.
You know, and I had the executive director at the time. She was like, we've had so many people reach out to us. We've been here for 100 years, and people didn't even know we existed. And I'm like, because I was every day, I was awareness, you know?
Yes.
Talking about their mission, talking about what they did. Every day on everything that I had to speak to, I was speaking to it.
Yes.
And so I was consistently telling their story over and over and over and over and over. And it worked. And so I was like, okay, well, that worked for them. And they told me about all of the people who reached out. Maybe they didn't donate. Maybe they didn't vote for me, whatever. But that piqued their curiosity to call and ask questions and how they can get involved. Because, I mean, if you can't afford it, you have time. You can come down and you can volunteer and you can just participate.
Yes.
And give back and serve others. You don't have to have any money to be able to do that.
Right.
So that's where I was just like, a light bulb in my brain went off and I was like, okay. So I've been wanting to do this kind of grant program where we give back and we do this big, elaborate marketing campaign. How can we do it? How can I make it happen? I want to make it happen right now. And I finished Dancing with the Stars in August. I was trying to figure out all the details, what I needed to do. I reached out to other people and I was like, what do you, you know, because I know other radio stations that have done stuff like similar. And then I tweaked it and I, you know, had other people look at it. What do you think? How am I going to have people pick? Like, what are we going to do?
Yes.
So I was just trying to hurry up and get it done, you know, and then of course you're going into the holidays.
Right.
And, you know, and grants are a lot. Sometimes can be very, very daunting as far as
soul crushing came to my mind.
Yes. I mean, there's so much. Yes. And I'm like, you know, I want to make it easy, but I also want to know.
Yes.
Like why? Why should we pick you?
Right.
What do you need? Why do you feel like you need this? And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to use it? So.
And so we are absolutely using it. And what I love is that we're using it as like a voice for the kids. So even though we're going to be promoting the Rugged Race, anything that has to do with mentor kids, we are promoting the youth in our community. Because I am a firm believer and I was having some quiet time and I wrote this down. I truly believe that if we mend our kids, we can mend our community. So that's what I want to do.
They're our future.
Yes.
And they're our future. Some, if we just leave them and don't help them, nurture them, and really just take them by the hand and show them, be a good example for them.
Yes.
We're really doing ourselves a disservice. Our world, our country, our communities, all of it a disservice, because we're looking to them as kids. But you have to realize those kids are going to grow up one day and they're going to have a vote. They're going to have a voice. They're going to have a job. They're going to have a say.
Funny you should bring that up, because that's typically when people find out I'm from Indiana. Well, that, and I don't have an accent, but and I say Frederica. So outside of that, you know, I could be from Kentucky, but I have learned, and very quickly I learned this when I moved to Owensboro, two things are going to happen when a kiddo graduates. They are either going to A, stay here and get their higher education or their trade or whatever they want to do, or they're going to move away. Mm-hmm. However, everybody comes back here. I understand why,
right?
But that is why we have to invest in our kids, because they are our next mayor, our next cancer researcher with the biomedical place. They are our next person who is going to pump gas at Key Stop, and I appreciate anyone who will pump my gas. Not kidding you.
I know, right?
Yes. Anything. But they're going to be our front line in everything. So you aren't going, so let's just do whatever we can take now, build them up as youth instead of coming alongside them as broken adults.
Right, and then helping them when they're in crisis mode.
Exactly.
Let's build them up and make them strong before they get to that point, so they have something to fall back on.
I want to help them realize their potential. Because most kids are walking around right now, they don't even know they have potential. I want to help them realize it.
Right. There's a lot of adults that are the same way.
But unfortunately, I'm like 6 to 14.
Right.
Have a mass.
I need a mentor.
Yes, exactly. Well, become a mentor and Miss Burley will be your mentor.
Right. I could use a pep talk every now and then, let me tell you. I think we could all use that.
Oh, yes.
So tell them about the Rugged Race, and I just think this is so fun and...
Yes. Okay. So the Rugged Race, our first one was in 2019, and it was a beast of a course. And most of it was a blur, but we had the foundation down, and Brian and Janice Smith, who were the previous owners of Diamond Lake, Brian kind of folded me underneath his arm, helped us establish it, and it went amazing. So we were banking on building on the momentum, because it was the first race of this kind, you know, like in our area. So then the pandemic hit and shut us down and out. It's like, okay, so we didn't get to have it in 2020. And so then building in 2021, we knew it was going to be just another, I mean, a challenge or an obstacle, so to speak. And by then, Brian and Janice had sold Diamond Lake. So that, I mean, there's like all of these unknown parts. And so the new owners graciously accepted our partnership. We were able to go out there, and I now know every inch of that course. My minivan, Old Bess, which is 2009, she drove, because I didn't have a truck and workers are limited. So we had some amazing volunteers from the Owensboro Recovery. They loaded up. We had the van doors open. We drug T-post in her, drove her through all the course. There was only one hill we couldn't get up. But like, I truly know every part of that. And with that, I know the amazing sights that our participants are going to get to see that the spectators will not. Like, you will get to go back there and you will get to see the old, like, slide and merry-go-round that kind of looks like the apocalypse has happened. The old water slide that used to provide hours of fun that is just now randomly there. So you get to see that, but then also the nature, because again, you are able to go places that no one else gets to go during this race.
Right.
So that's cool. I love, so the, and the partnership with Diamond Lake has been amazing. Diggers, Digger Phelps, he is like my, just like my brother. I love him. He was on our board for a while. He is a mentor, and he and his wife, Marta, have been huge supporters and mentor kids. And Digger literally takes the week before the race, brings his crew out to us. I mean, not all of his crew, because he still has Diggers to run.
Right.
But we have backhoes, and we have other equipment that I'm not really for sure. I haven't learned all their names, but they are digging. They're making mud. They're digging stuff out. They're pumping water in. So I get to see all of them, like, transform the course. And then Independence Bank, just to have a company believe in you, believe in your vision, and back you on it, and even through a pandemic, say, hey, we can't do it this year, but you can count on us for next year. We are not going anywhere. We're all in this together. So I think that has, it's become a big family event. And even like our sponsors, they have become like, because there's all different sponsorship levels. You can go on our website or call the office or come by, because we're always there. But we all become like this large knit family.
Right.
And then the racers. So now we have, this will be our third year. So the person who won it the first year won it the second year. I'm going to be curious to see if he can win it the third year.
Oh, really?
Now, granted, he's in his early 20s and looks like a gazelle. So odds are probably in his favor, but you never
right.
know.
Right.
There could be somebody right now.
Another gazelle out there.
Listening.
Stronger.
On this podcast
right.
and is like, I'm going to be the elite rugged race champion.
There you go.
Yes.
And call him out.
Yes. And so, and then this year, we get to have food trucks.
Oh.
So we're going to have Libertarian Coffee be there. We are going to have snow cones. There's going to be some other food vendors. So if you have a food truck and you want to join us, absolutely come. And so I can just see it. More festivities, more spectators. We have something exciting that we're going to roll out in the middle of July. So maybe I can come back and we can have a chit chat about that.
Definitely.
So that's going to be mind blowing and exciting. But we've got a brand new obstacle that we're going to reveal. So we are always looking to maintain the good bones that we have. But I always want to make it interesting for the participants who have been faithful and have done it both years.
Right.
So we always try to add something new just to keep them guessing. So we're going to do that. We're also going to declare, I guess I'm declaring it right now, corporate challenges.
Oh.
So I would love for Independence Bank to
have a team.
Yeah. Oh, they are having a team. They already have their team. I would love to challenge the other banks out there to get their teams. I would love to challenge the realtors to get their teams. Because you're doing it for the kids, and you get bragging rights.
There you go.
So just to make it a huge, just community event, everybody loves a good competition. But when you're out there with your, you know, coworkers, your family, mm-hmm. it just makes even the worst moments so much better, and it makes the best moments even the bestest. I don't know if that's a word.
A good bonding time.
Yes.
Good bonding moment.
Yes. And there are all kinds of bonding opportunities on the Rugged Race course.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
So many.
I would be the one that would be over there in the water going, oh, I need to bond with somebody right now.
Help. Help
right.
me.
So they can go to your website, they can sign up, or they can find out about sponsorships to be a part of it.
Yes.
Or reach out to you about being corporate.
A corporate challenge, or if you wanted, if you're a business owner right now, or even a business, and you're listening right now, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to challenge this person, or even challenge your family members. You could divide your family and run. Call us at the office at 270-926-6893. You can come in. We'll Facebook Live your challenge.
There you go.
And we'll just let it all go. So the more people we get, the more excitement we're going to have. Yes, sponsorships are still open. We'll be taking sponsorships until the very beginning of August. And all the sponsorships, you're going to land on the back of a t-shirt, and you're going to have great visible signage.
So we'll say, I have a t-shirt, and it's so soft and so comfortable.
And we did that on purpose. And we're going with the exact same brand and make of t-shirt again.
So yes, definitely worth it.
Yes.
Sure. Only for the t-shirt.
Exactly. And so let's say that you don't have money to sponsor. Let's say that you seriously just know that the rugged race is not for you, but you want to be a part of it. It takes over 100 volunteers to run this, because we need obstacle referees at each obstacle to make sure, especially with the elite, that everybody is competing, everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. If they don't complete the obstacle, they have to drop and do 15 burpees. So a countdown. And so when you have 26 obstacles, you need two people at each. That's just for the obstacles. That's not right. Check-in, bag check. And if you have viewers that are listening and they've been to a Tough Mudder or a Spartan or a Rugged Maniac, we do not charge for parking. There are no additional fees. Our bag check is free. I mean, everything is complimentary because we're Owensboro.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just want to, like, you know, just love everybody. We want everybody to come and not have to worry about
community.
Yes. And not having to bring, like, all kinds of just money that's going to get lost and everything. We just want to make it very easy for them. We want them to focus on just having fun, competing in the race. But if you volunteer, you get a free t-shirt.
That's right.
So, you run, you get a t-shirt. You work it, you get a t-shirt.
There you go. And you got to hand out water stuff too, right?
Yes, we have water stations. And
I
want
you had like the showers or the sprinklers.
Yes, the car wash.
The car wash.
The car wash to go through after the mud.
Right.
And so we're looking for a car wash sponsor.
There
so
you go.
Shammies, if you're listening, or the other Cheetah, whatever, just we need a car wash sponsor.
There you go.
So the possibilities are endless.
Okay, that sounds so much fun.
And we have everybody covered. So you cannot just say that there's nothing for you, because there's something for everybody.
This is for everybody.
Yes.
You can volunteer, you can pass out waters, you can, you know, hose people down if you want to.
Yes, and just cheer.
That's right.
Cheer people on, because by the time that they come over the Tower of Terror, which is the Independence Bank final obstacle, they have to climb over all of these hay bales, the round ones.
Oh.
Yes, and they're stacked tall. And so, and we just drug them down under and in this muddy, murky water, and then have them climb out, run about 10 feet, and then they are going over all of these huge rolls of hay. And so Independence Bank is there cheering everybody on. They are actually going to take pictures at the top, when people are at the top.
Oh, that'll be
so
cool.
They can celebrate that. And then we also have Disc Daddy, who is going to set up his little iPad, so you can just type in your phone number and you can get a picture of you right after you finish, drenched in mud with your amazing heavy, it's a truly, truly legit heavy medal. Because I am not a fan of participant medals. I think that's what's wrong with America. I think that we should have just, I mean, I'm just old school on that stuff.
Right.
But after I drove the course for the first time and saw, this was not like seeing it actually, you know, people work, but just seeing it, I'm like, if anybody crosses that finish line, they deserve the medal that says, I
did this.
Yes, and I earned every bit of it.
Right,
so they
right.
are, yes, nice, heavy medals that you can just proudly wear.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm excited to be a part of it this year and to be out there and maybe get money. Maybe. We'll see.
We got the car wash.
That's right. I'll be at the car wash.
Yes.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you coming in and telling everybody about Mentor Kids, and I'm so excited to see how the event's going to come out, how you're going to come out on the other side of the Cromwell Cares grant.
And we're already so much better than us never having it.
Right. Well, you know, something's always better than nothing, right?
but this is like already better because we're already talking about it. And then the excitement in our office, you know, it's like we don't have to worry about coming out of the pandemic and like helping make sure that everybody, you know, our kiddos and the families are all taken care of. We're all to a good place now. So this will be like our first, like, let's just get out, breathe the fresh air, and just enjoy what it is to be America.
That's right. And here we are getting ready to be 4th of July.
Here we are.
Look at you.
This has been so much fun.
That's right. Yes, I love it. I love having people come in that are passionate about what they do, but also are contributing, serving others, loving on others. I don't think there's a better job. This right here, I get paid to do this, and I mean, really, I get paid to do this. It's incredible, and it's incredible what you guys do.
Thank you.
Because you don't realize the ripple effects that you're putting out into the world and just creating a better world for all of us, really.
I sure hope so.
So, yes, well, I know you are.
Thank you.
You don't have to hope. Thank you so much for coming in today, and thank you for all that you guys do. We truly appreciate it, and we love watching. So.
Thank you so much, thank you to your listeners. They're amazing.
Thank you for listening to our Cromwell Cares podcast, July edition about mentor kids. Make sure that you get signed up for the Rugged Race. You can go to mentorkids.org and get as much information about Mentor Kids as you'd like. Also, we have all of their links and information to social media on our OwensboroRadio.com/Cromwell Cares. Thanks for listening, and make sure to stay tuned as we learn more about Mentor Kids and all of the people involved. Want to say thank you to our sponsors, Jerry Ray Davis. He is your friend in the car business. And also to Robert Edge, Kentucky Farm Bureau. You've been listening to Cromwell Cares Podcast, a production of Cromwell Media.